Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nayan, your host for today's episode, and today we'll be covering our reaction to the Mufasa The Lion King trailer, on-set issues with our boy The Rock, Chris Hemsworth hating on Thor and Love and Thunder, and a sausage party series. As always, I'm joined here by James, and let's get straight into it. Sit back, crack open a cold one, and enjoy the show. So, Disney's next live-action film is Mufasa, obviously a prequel to The Lion King, titled Mufasa The Lion King. It's directed by Barry Jenkins, who also directed Moonlight, which won a Best Picture at the Oscars, so a very well-acclaimed director as well. A bit more information has come out since this trailer. Not only did we get our first look, but it was also confirmed that Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing the songs, James's favourite person in the whole entire world. Donald Glover and Beyonce will be returning as Simba and Nala, and Blue Ivy Carter, yeah, will be their daughter. Is that Beyonce's little kid?
I'm not sure, actually. It sounds like what a celebrity would name their child, so... Yeah, we'll
the name
that.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. So James, we've both watched your trailer. What are your thoughts? Are you, because it was on your most anticipated? So, Do you think it deserves to be there, or do you think you might have jumped the gun a bit?
Well, I'll correct you. It's not on my most anticipated. It was an honourable mention.
And close enough.
No, it's not. It was clearly not on the top 10. My answer to this is twofold, because on one hand, I'm dreading this movie. And on the other hand, I'm very, very intrigued. I think this is a really, really fascinating project. And that's purely because of the talent behind the camera. I guess I'll get into the bad. So we all know the criticism when it comes to The Lion King, at least the live action, and I'm doing quotation marks here for anyone who's listening to us via podcast. It's not really live action. It's like photorealistic CGI. That's basically what this is, and it just tries to show it in a really realistic way. There's a massive problem already when you're doing that kind of style for a movie like this. The lions, they can't show emotion because their faces aren't designed that way. If you made a photorealistic lion smile or cry, it would look really strange. It would almost look a little bit deformed. So you can't do that. You can try and emphasize it through the face, but you're barely going to get much emotion out of there. So how you can tell compelling stories where these characters are undergoing like a really big journey is just something that it's extremely hard to do. So there's immediately, you know, I have no faith in it in terms of it being compelling emotionally. The thing that does intrigue me though, Barry Jenkins, you know, he won, for Best Picture, for Moonlight. He was nominated for Best Director for Moonlight, nominated for Best, I think maybe Adapted Screenplay for If Beale Street Could Talk. The dude's, he's a master. He's a storyteller. He's really, really good at what he does. And he has a certain polish to his movies that you just can't really get behind. That you can get behind, sorry. But this trailer, it emphasizes exactly what I've just said. Because, mind you, visually, it looks better than The Lion King and the one that released in 2019. Like, the visuals are really great. You can't deny that. But the problems are still there. The trailer doesn't do much to showcase anything that may mitigate my concerns. But Barry Jenkins is behind it. I mean, it looks nice, but will it actually be nice? And regarding Lin-Manuel Miranda writing songs, it's fine. I can't really criticize it too much. Donald Glover, Beyonce returning as Simba and Nala. I have no idea how that's even going to be in the movie or how this movie is going to flesh out. All I can imagine is that it is Rafiki telling his daughter the story of Mufasa as an orphan and then becoming king, and it's going to have like it's going to go to the past and the future. and then we're going to get some kind of that's where they'll show up. But yeah, Nan, man, I'm very conflicted on this movie. Do you have anything that may help me decide if I should be hype or not? What are your thoughts on the trailer?
Nah, bro, I'm fully against it, eh?
Fully against it.
The only thing I'm hyped about is how it's going to adapt the sort of the storytelling aspect of Lion King 3. Mm-hmm. You know, the Timon and Pumbaa movie, how it was like them watching the movie and going back from their perspective, except for this one, it's from Rafiki.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly how Simba and Nala is going to come back, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that. I hope there's a few in-house jokes and stuff like that, but I don't think there will be because Lion King 3 was a bit of a joke itself. So. But, yeah, this trailer did nothing for me in terms of hype. I mean, it's neither the same or, like, it hasn't gotten worse or it hasn't gotten better. It's just exactly what I sort of expected from it, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know much of the story. And this trailer just seemed like a whole lot of visuals and set pieces, and you're right, the visuals do look good, but then there's times where it looks horrible on the animals. Like, there's that one scene of Mufasa falling from a tree and he's like this, and it just looks so stupid.
Oh really? I mean, I thought it all looked good, bro. I didn't notice any shots in there that were kind of questionable in any sense, and it is just a first trailer.
When I meant bad, I meant like the expressions.
Right, exactly. Because
you could tell like Mufasa's supposed to be like, oh shit, but it's just like,
yeah.
It's a line. So, yeah, in that regards, not that much. I'm more excited for the, you know, that Lion King 3 sort of storytelling, and maybe some of the musical set pieces. You could see a couple in there with like all these different bunch of animals in a circle and stuff like that. So I think what they'll do with animals in terms of musical set pieces will be interesting. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm not that excited, not even for the director, you know, because you've listed all of his credentials or his major credentials.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he's under the House of Mouse, you know, Disney. And we know what they can do to acclaimed directors. they can absolutely water down that whiskey and make it taste like shit. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know how much will be purely his vision versus what Disney wants themselves. But yeah, man, this it is fascinating. A part of me wants to stick to my gun and be like, no, I trust Barry Jenkins. I trust his vision. But the fact that it's done in this style again, it just really bothers me. You know, if they had just done the same animation style from the original Lion King back in the 90s, why didn't they just do that?
Cartoon hand-drawn.
Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you just do that? Or why don't you just do another animated version where, you know, the main characters of the story can show emotion without just saying, I'm sad, I don't feel good, or whatever it may be. I mean, the reason why they're doing this, or the reason why they're allowed it at least, is because The Lion King that released in 2019 made a shit ton of money. So where do you see this movie in terms of the box office? Because it releases during that prime time of that Christmas, New Year's period where movies can have really long runs. Do you see it making big money again? $1 billion?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And it's sad. Just
cause of, it's because of that second part of the name. It's not because I'm a fuss, it's because of The Lion King. Everyone will go flock to the cinemas to see another Lion King movie. Half these people are idiots and they'll probably, no offense guys, but probably think that it's like a sequel or something, when actually it's not, because obviously Mufasa died, so it's obviously a prequel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm completely agreement with you. It should have been an animated feature at least. Mm-hmm. I think they would have gotten a bit more money out of it. You know, they could obviously save a lot on their budget from the live action. I don't know the exact cost, but I assume live action is a lot more expensive than animation.
Yeah.
Might be wrong. If you're an animator, let me know in the comments. But this is what I think right at the moment. They could save so much budget on that and, you know, just make a real big profit if it was animated, because they'll probably end up getting just as much, if not a little bit more.
Yeah.
If it was animated.
Yeah, I mean, I think $1 billion is essentially a lock for someone like this. It's already getting, like, really good traction in terms of social media engagement, which is obviously a quite encouraging sign when it comes to predicting box office. So, yeah, it's going to do big business, man. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. The only thing we can do now is just pray that there's no live-action Lion King movies from here on out. But I stick to my guns with this one, dude. I'm cautiously optimistic. I trust in Barry Jenkins. I don't trust in Disney. We'll see what the end result is.
All right, we'll find out at the end of the year. You guys at home, let us know if you've seen this trailer. Are you excited like James, or are you unexcited like me? If you know my question in regards to what's more expensive, animation or live action, let me know. It's a good little educational thing that a lot of people should and could know about. So let us know in the comments down below. All right, probably the biggest news to come out of this past week is in regards to everyone's favorite actor, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, he has been filming a film called Red One. It also stars, what's his name, Chris Evans, and it's a Christmas movie with Santa in it. I don't know the exact plot details.
Santa gets kidnapped, and so an elf goes to save him. That's the plot.
Okay, so it sounds stupid. But anyway, this film's already been delayed, and we now somewhat know why. So it's been reported that The Rock would show up 7 to 8 hours late regularly. On days that he's supposed to shoot, on days that he's also supposed to shoot, he would miss out on that day. He would just not show up. So that's a day lost in production. And when he is on set to save time, he would pee in a water bottle and give it to a producer or a cast member or someone, and they would have to go dispose of it. So the budget for this film is $250 million. And apparently, because of all these delays and all these issues with The Rock showing up late and peeing in water bottles, it's added another $50 million to the budget of Red One. I don't know if that $250 million is inclusive of that $50 or if it's going to be $250 plus another $50. If it is plus another $50, $300 million for a Christmas movie that is going to probably bomb hard is absolutely absurd. So James, what do you think? Do you think this is just hearsay at the moment, or do you think it's something that Rock can actually do? Because he does appear to be like a genuinely nice guy, like on screen and behind the cameras and stuff like that. Like, it's a known fact. So hearing all of this just sort of shocked me a little bit, but then also didn't surprise me. Did you have the same sort of feelings?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, do you remember when we started talking about, you know, Fast and Furious, and, you know, there's that beef with Vin Diesel, and we're like, is it coming more from the Rock side or Vin Diesel's side? And, you know, we just kind of did discuss that. I think those talks regarding The Rock and what we had, we kind of speculated a little bit that it may be at The Rock's fault at the end of the day. And I guess this kind of, you know, alludes further to that. But let's just put it in the perspective for you, Nan, for anyone watching right now. If you did this at work, if you were working hard at your desk and you're peeing in the bottle and just putting it right beside you, just to save time so you keep working, you're really focused on your job, really good at what you do, is that okay? Would you be, you know, fired or let go, or written warning or whatever it is? If you showed up 7 to 8 hours, if I showed up 7 to 8 hours late for work, everybody would be going home. That's not lateness. That's skipping days. 7 to 8 hours, it doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, like, if you read that report, man, there is a history of this from multiple different insiders that aren't really coming forth in terms of being identified. They are being anonymous, and it's clear that they are, I guess, putting themselves in a position of risk to divulge this information to everyone here. But I do think there is some legitimacy to these claims made against The Rock. I think there is a history of it, and I think it's coming to light now. In terms of what I think about him doing this, is that it's something that the industry does need to crack down on, because, you know, adding $50 million to a movie and, you know, I guess playing a part in its delay is extremely significant. And if there's a pattern of this, then why would you ever want to employ that kind of person? You know, like, yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me. I guess at this stage, it is just, you know, he said, she said kind of thing. But I would say this is something that's pretty serious. I also heard a further, allegation towards this, that him and Ryan Reynolds got into quite a heavy argument about
that too.
Yeah.
For Red Notice, I heard that as well, and like they wouldn't talk to each other, and it took like years for them to like mend fences as well.
Yeah. And you know, we're hearing reports that, you know, he's been late to like fan events at WrestleMania, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's all this stuff going on with him, and he needs to, you know, I guess, put it together, because the Rock has a very great legacy. I don't think any of us can deny that. I give him, you know, a ton of shit because he plays an extension of himself in every movie that he's done. And until A24 is the smashing machine, where he plays a UFC fighter and it's directed by Benny Safdie, I haven't seen much. I haven't seen acting where he's actually challenging himself. He's been versatile. He's just using his natural charisma and playing an extension of himself. So despite that, I do give him a ton of shit for that. But he's extremely likable, as you said. He's very charismatic. And despite the shit we give him, he's still very enjoyable in the roles that he plays. Even if the movies are, you know, mid or they're not great, he's not really always a bad part or a huge negative towards them. So yeah, despite that, I still like The Rock and I enjoy my movies. And his legacy, he's a massive draw, dude. He's gone from the WWE being, you can probably correct me on this, being one of the most popular, one of the most iconic kind of fighters or actors, whatever you want to call it.
Both. Wrestlers. We call them wrestlers
athletes.
Mm-hmm. Athletes, you know, performers. But yeah, he's considered part of the Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
Well, there you go.
WWE, at least.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's also, you know, a massive popular bodybuilder, and now he's one of the biggest actors of all times in terms of box office pull and legacy there. He doesn't want his legacy defined by this report that we're seeing right now. So he either needs to clearly address these issues, or there needs to be something, a follow-up to this, where we can actually kind of, you know, get some clarity on this and see, because I can see this being, I guess, a rabbit hole for him, and he's just going to dig himself a deeper grave at this point. So yeah, I mean, I just hope there's more clarity to it, and that we can, and that he can, I guess, not do this stuff. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it did catch me a little bit by surprise when I saw this, but then also I'm not surprised because of all the stuff that we could see, like how becoming like
a little bit of a pattern there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it surprised me, but not at the same time. But I can fully see it happening, you know, like I can just see him thinking that because he's now a board member of TKO, which owns both UFC and WWE, that because he's a board member, he can, you know, he's got his own production company as well. He can try push his weight where he can. That's a lot of weight as well.
Could you see him peeing into water bottles?
That's the thing I can't see. That's the one thing I genuinely, the others I can.
Mm-hmm.
But the others, I think he has a decent seeing class to at least hide behind a toilet to like at least pee on the ground or something, or go in a bush or something, you know, like,
yeah,
that I can't see. I don't know. I mean, if it is true, and if the person has to dispose of that water bottle has any proof, then I think he will lose a lot of respect from a lot of people. Touching upon your comment about him showing up late to the WrestleMania fan event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was true, but he used it in a way to, because he's a heel in that, and a heel is a bad guy in wrestling. So he used that to like antagonize the crowd in the performance by saying how like, oh, he's a boss of the WWE and the boss of his opponent, so he can shop whenever he wants, and then the crowd just ate that up. There was also another thing about WrestleMania, as in the night there was actually supposed to fight, was that he turned up late to that, and one of the I think chairmans or high board members of WWE disputed that rumor. They said no, that's not true. He came in early so he could practice the rehearsals, because that's what they do before the night events, and then he also like helped other people as well. So it's a bit of a, whether it's a PR covering on WWE's part or not, it's something else, but yeah, it's just really, really weird to see this happening.
Yeah. Further to that, yeah, an Amazon spokesperson, because Red One has been distributed by Amazon, and they've denied this report. They've said that he's had nothing to do with the delay or the budget ballooning to whatever it is. So you might be right in terms of it's just, you know, PR management on The Rock's part to, you know, save him, I guess, some clout. So who knows what's actually going on, but I do think there is evidence there. And then when you have all these kind of reports and multiple different people, because it was reported by The Rap and they've had multiple sources kind of confirm these, at that point, there's something wrong. He's doing something wrong. I'm not saying everything's true. I'm not saying, you know, even this particular one in terms of Red One that we're talking about right now is true. But there is some conduct clearly happening on set that is upsetting other people, whether it's, you know, Ryan Reynolds or Vin Diesel or Chris Evans, whoever it is, there's some conduct there that's not good. And I don't believe in wasting people's time. Especially, you know, when you got actors like Chris Evans or Ryan Reynolds, they're busy guys. They have a lot to do as well. And I think it's just total disrespect on his part. And if, you know, if we're going to talk about the pee and water bottles thing, if there's like female employees around, does that constitute a sexual harassment? Even sort if you're turned of. Around? Like, it's pretty disgusting to do. Like, it's gross. Like, it reminds you of something my ex-boss would do. So, yeah, and we know where that's gone, don't we, Nan? So, yeah, this is bad. But all in all, in terms of my opinion on this, I just hope The Rock can figure out how to get out of this and how to not be like this, because I don't want his legacy defined by being an intolerable person to work with. He has a really good legacy to uphold. I just hope he can, yeah, be a decent co-worker, I would say.
Yeah, well, guess we'll have to wait and see. You guys at home, what do you guys think? Do you think old boy The Rock can pee in a bottle? Do you think he can show up late? Do you think he is a problem, or do you think he's been attacked by a disgruntled production person that he's worked with? Let us know in the comments below. And yeah, I mean, we can't prove it's right or wrong. No one can unless the man himself admits to it. So he said, she said. All right, Chris Hemsworth has seemingly gotten a monkey off his shoulder, you know? A lot of weight off his chest in regards to Thor, in particular Thor Love and Thunder as well. So he's come out to say that he can't forgive himself for Thor Love and Thunder. He says he got caught up in the improv and the wackiness of the film, then it became a parody of himself, and he didn't quite stick the landing. And in addition to that, he also commented on this work on and with the Avengers. He said that he felt his role as Thor was very replaceable in the Avengers. He felt more like a security guard. He would read everyone else's lines and see that they got cool stuff to work with and that they were having a lot more fun, whereas Thor, he just got a wig, a costume, and muscles, and that's three things you can literally replace with any big, butch, white person for Thor, I guess. So, James, I know you hate Thor, Love and Thunder. I know I hate Thor, Love and Thunder. What are your thoughts on Chris Hemsworth finally letting the cat out of the bag?
Oh, okay. Let's break this one down. I can't forgive you either, Chris Hemsworth, for what you did in Thor, Love and Thunder. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, that movie is an absolute atrocity. I don't know how you can actually do that and be like, maybe this is a little bit corny or cringe or a bit too far or a bit too silly. Oh, am I doing any real acting here? Like, did you ever have a scene that you did in Thor Love and Thunder where it was like, oh, this is real acting. I'm doing stuff that it's challenging me. No, you didn't. You didn't get caught up in the improv or the wackiness. You got caught up in the negative reviews and the negativity surrounding this film. It's not that. He wanted to take this a little bit further. I don't believe him that he, in terms of that, you know, he got too caught up in it. I think that, you know, it's got a ton of negative reception afterwards, and that, you know, it just wasn't received in the way that he did. But I will, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt for this one, all right? The main guy is Taika Waititi, and any chance where I can hate on Taika Waititi, I'm going to take it. So I'm going to take it right now because I don't like him. Despite the fact that I'm from New Zealand. Guys, I'm from New Zealand. I can say this. So is Nan, so he can say anything negative about Taika Waititi. We're all boys. We're all from New Zealand. It's not personal. It's just
business.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, Taika Waititi is the main culprit for that atrocity of a film. Thor: Love and Thunder is awful. It made a complete mockery out of the character Thor. It made a complete mockery of the development that Thor had got, which is why, going to what he was saying about the Avengers, I completely disagree with. In terms of Avengers Infinity War, Thor is one of the most important characters to that film. And like, he was reading everyone else's lines and they got cooler stuff to work with. Dude, you like... You worked. What did he do? He like formed a hammer from the sun, or a dying star, or something like that, right?
I assume that his comments is in regards to the first two.
Is it relation to the first two?
I assume it's not confirmed. He just says the Avengers, so yeah. I'm just assuming it's the first two because those are the first two where he does sort of seem like a guy that can just be replaced.
Okay, in that sense, yeah, but it's Okay, he has to specify that, because if we're going to say the Avengers, we're going to say all four of them. And I can kind of see that in the second Thor. The first Thor, it's involving Loki, his brother. He has a direct emotional tie with the villain. So, no, he has much more to work with than, say, Hawkeye, than Black Widow. Easily, starting there. Avengers 2, he kind of takes a back seat, but... You know, these are massive crossover movies. Someone has to take a backseat in some of these kind of films. Avengers Infinity War, he's one of the coolest entrances in any comic book movie ever. So I don't know where he's going with that. He's also the first Marvel character to get a fourth film. Like, those comments are completely unjustified. I completely disagree. I completely disagree with everything that he's saying here. But overall, no one can forgive you for what you did on Thor 4. And the fact that you're getting a fifth movie, this is your chance to make redemption. Make redemption, all right? End the character at Thor 5. I'm done with Thor. I can't do... There's been three bad Thor movies. I loved one of them. But just at least redeem yourself and get out while you still can, dude. That's all I got to say for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, if Thor 5 is just as bad as that, where it's like that he falls into the improv and wackiness.
Oh, worst character in MCU history. Easily. Yeah. Easily. Yeah.
And then we also know that all his comments right here is just absolute bullshit as well.
100%.
Which is now like what? When did it come out? 22? Mm-hmm. 2 years too late?
Yep. You know,
he probably should have addressed it. Maybe not straight away because that would mm-hmm. ruin box office runs, but at least like once it left theaters, you know, just like, oh, yeah, I'm fucked up. Thank mm-hmm. you for the money.
Yeah.
Sort of yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm with you. I don't really buy into him saying he can't. Actually, I can. Like, yeah, he did a bad job and he's an idiot for even reading the script and agreeing to it and not challenging it.
Yeah.
But hey, he can improve on it with the next one and. Mm-hmm. I guess all eyes will be on him for Thor 5 to see what he can do. Hopefully Taika's not directing it because
he's not. Here. Yeah, at least from what I've heard, Taika will not be directing it. And we are going to see if it's Thor, or I mean Chris Hemsworth, or Taika. Yeah.
I think we already know the answer to that.
We sure do. But like, he's a professional actor. He's been doing this for over a decade now. How do you get caught up in the improv and wackiness?
I don't know, maybe it's like, you know, you have a really good friend that you can just like goof around with, and maybe you saw that in Taika and so he just decided to bring that onto set, not realizing that it's his actual job, and so he just got caught up in the fun and the wackiness that it was to work with Taika and that crew.
Yeah.
Forgot that he had a job.
I don't know. All I know is that if Thor 5 is bad, Chris Hemsworth will have more bad solo superhero movies than any single character. Like, because there's four. There'll be four bad. And the first one's, it's okay at best, but it's still not great. It's just, there's no excuse for this. The character is all over the place. And Thor Ragnarok, I think Taika Waititi did a really, really good job. How I'm giving praise to Taika Waititi, I must be drunk. But he completely reinvented the character in a really positive way. I like Thor Ragnarok. I like what they did with the character. The Russo brothers came in for Infinity War and gave him a ton of soul and made him an extremely empathetic character because Thor had lost so much throughout his time. And then they just make him fat in Endgame and they just kind of kill everything. It's just one of the weirdest characters in any kind of franchise.
It was sort of the downhill moment for him, eh? Because we saw him in Infinity War and we're like, this is the Thor that we've all been wanting to see, you know, this god, yeah. This guy that everyone actually fears, because no one really feared him in the first two Avengers or any of his solo films. And then that happened, and then that first, 10-20 minutes, we're like, okay, cool, just walking straight up to Thanos and beheading him, you know? It's like, shit, we're going to see, a more cold-hearted Thor, and then 5 years later, he's a fat guy playing Fortnite.
I mean, yeah, pretty much, and it's not the fact that, you know, he's fat or he's given up and he has no, you know, compelling reason to try. It's the fact that when the threat of Thanos comes back or the hope of bringing back everybody, he still just stays that way and he's sort of written off as a joke for the entirety of the movie. And so if he's talking about how he's replaceable in the Avengers movies, I can see probably how he is replaceable in the Endgame because he just goes back to being a joke. And then he's more of a joke in Thor 5. Like, it's just, it's completely ridiculous. I honestly feel bad for the entire Thor character. In Thor 5, on a positive note for the character, he deserves it.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully we get better details and a better director and better everything for Thor 5. Send him off on a high note. You guys there, can you forgive Chris Hemsworth for the atrocity that is Thor Love and Thunder? James did a big shake of his head. No, I will do a little one to make up for it. And I'm sure you guys will hit on the comments and let us know. If you think we're idiots, then we'll tell you you're an idiot back and to go watch that film again. And hopefully that will change your mind. If you're a Taika Waititi fan, don't even bother commenting. Just unsubscribe, please. You don't want you, he's here.
Brutal.
All right. Sausage Party, the raunchiest film of our teenage years, is now getting a TV series titled Sausage Party Foodtopia. Love it. It premieres on July 11th on Prime Video and it consists of 8 episodes. The returning cast is Seth Rogen, Kristen Wiig, Michael Cera, David Krumholtz, I think that's his name, and Edward Norton. They were all in the film. They're coming back for the series as well. So the series is set after the events of the film where Frank, which is Rogan's character, Brenda Wiig's character, Barry Sears' character, and Sammy Norton's character are looking to rebuild their food society. I am unsure of the rating. I actually did quite a bit of work on this, 10 minutes worth, to try find out the rating for it, and I could not find anything, not on Wiki or IMDb or any reports, so I have no idea what the rating is. Hopefully it's R16. Mm-hmm. But James, I'm sure you've seen Sausage Party. I'm pretty sure we've memed it before, but will you be watching Foodtopia? Are you excited for Foodtopia?
I don't know about excited. That's probably not the right word, but I will be watching. I'm very interested in this, and I guarantee it's going to be R-rated. The whole concept of Sausage Party and its greatness, I'm probably using greatness incorrectly there. It's key thing is the fact that it's R-rated. An animated R-rated movie, it was quite a rare thing in the terms when it did release. So yeah, I mean, I really liked the movie. I remember seeing it for the first time, and I think the movie's much better than what people give it credit for. A lot of people didn't like it in terms of the casual movie going audience, but I remember it being received quite positively by critics, and that was because that, you know, Sausage Party did a lot more than, you know, what we ever expected. We were going into this movie thinking it was just an R-rated comedy movie about food, in the supermarket. It actually explored quite a few different concepts in that. I think the key concept it did, you know, quite explore is religion and the idea of God and how we view it and how we can testing faith, all that kind of stuff. I actually found it quite interesting how it did that stuff, as well as being the R-rated animated comedy that we wanted. It had some really raunchy moments in it, especially the, I think it's the last scene in that, where they kind of have the food orgy. Yeah, yeah. And I really hope this, I guess, TV series reboot, is it? It's a sequel, I guess.
Yeah, it's set after.
Right, yeah. The sequel and how, I just hope it's not just what we thought the first one was going to be, and just be an R-rated comedy about food and it being animated. I hope it actually does explore some interesting concepts, I guess, in terms of, you know, existing and all that. So I think there's a lot of different directions this can go down. I hope it does keep the R-rated, you know, raunchiness to it. But I don't have faith for this too much, because have you seen Ted, the... I think
TV
it's on
series?
Yeah.
Nah, I haven't.
No, so I watched that. It was on one of the, I guess, Australian streaming services, but I think it's Paramount Plus specifically. And it was okay, but it was clearly like, you know, just using the IP to create a TV series. There was not much purpose for it. It was just, you know, another TV show using the IP of Ted. But and I think that's exactly what's going on here. It's just Sausage Party using the IP that's already established, and it's just going to create something new. I don't think there's actually like a reason for the story to be told, but I don't know. Maybe there is, because at the end of Sausage Party, I don't know if you remember, but it felt like it ended on like a little bit of a cliffhanger. It felt like we were going to get another one, and I've been surprised that there hasn't been since this release in 2016. So I think there's some good potential in this, especially if it kind of follows the footsteps of the first one. But yeah, when you get a hit movie going to a TV series on a streaming service, it's hard to have some confidence in that. What do you think?
I don't remember much of the film. I do remember the food orgy, because that was a big topic to talk about as a teenager back then, because we're all idiots as teenagers. But yeah, I'm want to say excited, intrigued for this TV series. I'll probably definitely watch it somehow, some way. I'm pretty sure Amazon's available here. In fact, it is. Don't even know why I question myself on that.
It is.
So yeah, I know that you said that you want something not so close to the film, but I can fully see this being exactly like the film. You know, it's going to be stupid. There's not going to be that much heart or anything to it. It's just going to be dumb fun, and I think that's what we need nowadays, with what's going around in our lives and the world, is just dumb fun. And what better way than food giving us that form of dumb fun in some raunchy way, you know? So yeah, it's good. I also like how pretty much all the main cast is returning, because, you know, sometimes there's always that one cast member or two that doesn't want to do it, and their voice just doesn't seem fit right. So it's nice to see that everyone is on board for this. That's another huge raps, and I'm excited for that. So yeah, it's July 11th, man. The June July is going to be big for Prime. I assume it's Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Because you got The Boys coming out in June, and then this as well. So it's pretty big, and Fallout's just finished for them as well. So Prime is doing really well for TV series. Hopefully this is good.
Yeah, hopefully it adds something quite significant to the gallery. I mean, yeah, just touch upon what you said there. The fact that the original cast has returned, it gives me a little bit more faith, you know. We see a lot of these things where, particularly voice casts, they don't come back for the original. I have one on the tip of my head, but I can't think of the name, where they redid it and the original voice cast isn't a part of it. But yeah, the fact that they are returning does give me some hope. But yeah, man, and in terms of TV, bring on June and July. Like,
hell yeah.
Like we have
House of Dragon as well.
House of Dragon, The Boys, The Bear, Sausage Party.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, I swear there's another one, but three or at least three heavy hitters, and sausage party is a nice closer for that. Some good dessert.
Oh, hey. Ah. That's a pun I'll get on board about, because it's about food. You finally got me.
I'm too good.
All right. What do you guys think about Sausage Party Foodtopia? Do you want to be part of this topia of food? Are you excited for it? Do you think it's going to be what? You think it's going to be raunchy? Do you want it to be raunchy? Let us know in the comments below. Keep it PG, keep it M-rated, you know. We don't want comments about a sausage sucking off another sausage or something like that, you know. Keep it classy. I know it's a raunchy topic, but keep it classy, all right?
No sausages, guys.
No sausages.
Just pee in a bottle.
No. That's only if you're the Rock. All right, that will do us on today's Let's Real podcast. Hope you've all enjoyed today's show. We did get a little bit silly at the end with that. Wouldn't be a Let's Be Real if we didn't get silly at some point. Be sure to like and subscribe and comment on our channel. You'll be doing us a big favor, and we'll love you and appreciate you so much for doing it as well. And be sure to head over to Instagram and X and flick us a DM about any ideas. If you want us to talk about, I don't know, films that you want to see be made, we can fan cast it for you. Want any characters that you think want to be fan cast, if we can do it for you. Any segments, you know, James has his box office pie segments and his Victor with a picture, and I've got my little games whenever I can think of them. If you have any game ideas, let us know. You'll be doing mainly me a favor, because I'm not that creative. So any help is appreciated. So yep, and if you don't like watching us, I forgive you. Not like Chris Hemsworth, because I don't like watching myself either. So head over to Spotify or wherever you pod from and give us a listen. Just search Let's Be Real on there and you can catch up on the fun on there. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. We'll catch you on the next episode. We are Movie Games and we will see you later.
Peace.